Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the Coach LaLisa Show this wonderful, wonderful, marvelous, marvelous Monday. Well, today, all around the country and possibly other parts of the world, we celebrate the Dr. Martin Luther King. Well, his birthday became a holiday some years ago. His birthday was actually on Saturday. He was born January the 15th, 1929. And you know, it's an awesome, awesome opportunity to celebrate his wonderful birthday. And for many people, they have the day off. Maybe you also have the day off. But you know, I remember I was doing a couple of speaking engagements some years ago in celebration of this day, and their theme is that it's not a day off, it's a day on. And they used that theme because they felt that, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King, you know, he fought for jobs for those that were unemployed to help them get out of poverty. And so they thought it was fitting to celebrate it as not a day off, but a day on. And not only job-wise, but we got to be on the battlefield. We have to be out there fighting for the injustices that so many people are still facing. And maybe you are not facing any, but some people are. And as Dr. King said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. So as long as someone is still being treated unfairly, any person of color, then that means that we all have a threat to being treated unfairly in some kind of way. And he also said that what affects one directly affects all of us indirectly. So again, a person of color is being mistreated in some kind of way. Discrimination on the job, discrimination in politics or government or some kind of way in the fields of science and math. Then that means that we are all being affected indirectly. So here we are. 2011, here we are, marching onward and upward, advancing, 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 but yet we see that many people are suffering from something, and today's show is about those individuals who are suffering at the hands of others in the workplace under a concept termed bullying in the workplace. Yeah, that's right, bullying. Just like we heard about bullying in the schools and on the playgrounds, and we've all witnessed or you've heard about shootings in these schools where a student takes a gun or a rifle or a shotgun or machine gun and goes into a school or goes into a public area where there are people and open fire. And to later find out that this person had a history of being bullied. We've heard about the young people that have taken their own lives, committed suicide because of being bullied. And it's been horrible. It's been devastating. Right here in the great state of New Jersey, where I live, there was a young man not too long ago, sometime around October, shortly after the semester began, his first semester in college. He's being taunted by his fellow students, and what happens? He jumps off of the bridge in New York City. So we have to really address this issue of bullying. It's just bad. It's just really, really bad. But today we look at bullying with a twist. So today we're not looking at bullying at the colleges and in the schools. Everybody remembers the Columbine situation some years ago and how devastating and tragic that was. How horrible was that? It's really, so now we look at another kind of a tragedy situation when it comes to bullying. Disgusting, despicable. Ah, but that's just my opinion. You may have another opinion about it. I think it's despicable. And that is, bullying has come to the workplace. Can you believe it? Yes, bullying has come to the workplace. That's not good at all. Yeah, that is not good at all. You have employees who, and thank you, by the way, for those of you who tuned into the show. We're talking this morning about bullying in the workplace. That's no fun. How about that? Employees going to work and being mistreated, being treated meanly. You know, I've had some bouts with bullying in the workplace because I was also a person who was bullied in school, so I already knew what bullying was all about. And for those of you, if you are tuned in your normal way to listen to the Coach Lalisa Show is through the chat room. Just wanted you to know the chat room is open. But bullying in the workplace, how serious of a problem is this? Well, it has gotten more serious over the last 5 years and is beginning to be more prevalent in the workplace. Now, recently in Arizona, you also find where a congresswoman was shot. By the way, she's still fighting for her life in the hospital. Then there was a young girl who in that same incident was murdered, and an elderly woman in that incident murdered. Others shot. We've all heard stories about employees, especially with the United States Postal System, who have gotten somehow, whether it was through miscommunication or poor leadership, or somehow employees have gone back to work to gun down their coworkers or their supervisors. And we know in not too long ago, maybe sometime last year, I believe it was the Detroit area, where a man had been let go from his job, and he claimed it was some situations that I guess could fall under bullying, harassment, not sexual harassment, though. So this is being bullied in the workplace, a little bit different than harassment. But he went back to the company and murdered his supervisor, or the people that fired him anyway. So we need to really take this thing serious, bullying in the workplace. Now, I'm bringing it to you right here on Blog Talk Radio, live on the Coach Lalisa Show, because some of you work in human resources, some of you work closely to human resources, meaning you're a manager. If you are a manager of any kind in any company, you are directly, closely related to human resources. And the reason why is that basically you are the backup for HR. In other words, you know, when there's a play, the lead in the play will have what's called an understudy, correct? In case anything happens to that lead in the play, they're on the road, someone has to go on. So you have the understudy is always studying, knows the parts, knows the lines, can do it, but doesn't get a chance to do it. Because as long as the lead is doing well and okay and there, the understudy has no reason to go on stage. So, but in case something happens, now the understudy picks up. Well, the manager is similar to that in the company in terms of the human resource department. And if a company, for instance, wanted to cut their budget and they wanted to get rid of the HR people, which a lot of companies do, well, the managers fill in. So managers can hire. Managers can certainly make the decision on who gets promoted. Managers can do paperwork in terms of your compensation, your benefits. And so managers train anyway. A lot of times managers are involved anyway in the hiring process. So you see, managers really can do the work of HR. So that's what I meant by, so if you're a manager, you're in HR, certainly if you own your own company, if you are a leader, you are a supervisor, and even a coworker, you need to know about this new workplace issue. Because you may just be yourself. You may just be the person that you've always been. And so maybe the person that you've always been is mean, harsh, conniving to a degree with your coworkers. You might want to stop that, because what's happening is there are advocates in also in the field of HR and other fields. There are other fields, employee, and sort of like an employee personnel empowerment, the EPA. This is a group of people within the organization that fight for the employee's rights, and that the employee can be at work and be whole. Whole. Companies do not want pieces of people. Just like in a marriage when people say, oh, that's my other half, and it's like, no, you're not a piece of a person. They're not your other half. And so just like a person wants to marry a whole person, now they may be a whole mess, but they're still whole. You may be a whole mess, but you're still whole. But the company wants to hire a whole individual. Therefore, you don't want to have staff that are, having these issues with anger and displaced anger, resentment, because look at the volatile situation that it can create, and it could create a condition in the workplace called a hostile situation. Now, you can look that word up. And there are advocates and policymakers that are fighting every day for you down in Washington, D.C., to get protection for the person that is being bullied in the workplace. And that protection would look similar to the protection out there to protect those who are in the workplace being sexually harassed. Now, some of you aren't old enough to remember beyond protection for sexual harassment in the workplace, because you're young enough and your work experience does not predate our Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas and the situation with Miss Anita Hill when she, lodged charges against him for sexual harassment, and it hit worldwide media because at that time he was going through his confirmation of being to be confirmed as a judge. Yes, Supreme Court judges are appointed by the president, but they have to be confirmed by the Senate. And so he was going through the House of Representatives is one of those, or maybe both, but I think that the Senate, they confirm a lot of appointments. So he was going through confirmation, and it came, and she came forth. She had held it in for years, but she came forth. Obviously, she had told someone, a couple people probably here and there, but not only there was no need for it to come forth because he wasn't in a very high profile position as he was when he was trying to be confirmed as the Supreme Court justice. And so since that time, they created all kind of laws to protect people in the workplace if they felt, not if you harassed them sexually, but if they felt they are being sexually harassed. Because as you know, with sexual harassment, it's different to each person. You may touch one employee on the arm and they may think nothing of it. You touch another person on the arm, they may perceive that you tried to touch their breast. I'm just giving you an example. And they may say sexual harassment, and they could file suit against you. And you can't, what can you do? So in my workplace, for instance, we say don't touch anyone, period. Unless, for instance, let's just say me and Minister Pat began to work together in the same company. Now we know each other from church and we're friends and we hang out, we do things together. Well, I can hug her. I can touch her because we know each other. She's not going to turn around now and claim that I tried to sexually harass her. But someone that I don't know, I can't touch them, period. Even though we may have a friendly working relationship. You see? So same thing is about to happen with bullying in the workplace. They're going to set the laws up very similar to the laws that they have set for sexual harassment. They're already studying and they're already working on it to get it done. So people might want to be very careful. And good morning, good morning. Welcome to those of you in the chat room. Oh, this is new. Do you have the chat box on a separate page? I don't think so, Kiva. Good morning. Good morning, Coach. I thought it was on the same page, but maybe it's on a different page. I don't know. But welcome, welcome to the show. I know we got started a little bit later than we normally would, but being a holiday, we're on the holiday schedule. So welcome, welcome. But yes, bullying in the workplace. If you're in the workplace, don't bully anyone, because here's the problem. Again, you may work with someone. Let's just say some of you know my neighbor, Sheila. If you may not know, so I'll tell you about her. So me and Sheila, you know, we hang out together. She comes over here for dinner from time to time. I go to her for dinner. We go out to dinner together sometimes, our husbands, and we go, and then we go play, you know, different sports in the summer. We might do things together. She's been down to my timeshare. We've hung out. I've been down to her family's home. Let's just say we're on the job. And so we already may be used to horsing around or being a little rough or even saying things rough to one another. You know, people can do that when they're friends and they know each other. But again, let's just say I took that, that's my personality. So I take that personality on the job. And someone says, oh, they don't feel comfortable with that. They feel threatened. Now, here's what happens. It can affect their productivity. The CEO didn't know that the productivity is down because the worker is being mistreated in any kind of way or feels threatened in any kind of way, in any way, shape, form, or fashion, feels that it's a hostile situation. Not only, now once productivity goes down, now you know, that's a problem. The CEO was going to want to know what's happening here. Not only productivity could go down, the person's absenteeism could increase. All of a sudden, the person doesn't want to go to work now because of the hostile situation. And so they begin to call out sick when they're not really sick, but they're mentally and emotionally sick. And as soon as they get that letter from the EPA or some other source and they begin to look into this or they hear about it, because what companies are going to begin to do, they're going to have to do training, just like they did with sexual harassment. They have to start training staff on what sexual harassment looks like, what it is, and to protect employees and to protect the company. Because if an employee would sue another staff member, manager or coworker over sexual harassment, the company is going to, if the company loses, they're going to have to pay. And in some cases, they're going to pay big. It's a very, sexual harassment is a very serious charge. And a person could end up going to jail. And I know of a case personally where an employee went to jail for sexual harassment. And especially where it's quid pro quo when you take advantage of someone, because you have, that's what they look at it as, and that's the worst kind of sexual harassment there is because it's one thing when it's peer against peer sexual harassment, but when it's supervisor against staff member, they call that quid pro quo, because they say you are in a position of power. So no matter how old the person is, it's not about them being under 18. It's the fact that you were the person of power and you had the responsibility of not taking advantage of that person. It's as if you are telling them, well, if you have sex with me or if you accept this behavior, a pat here, a touch there, a this or that, letting me say my words in the case of Mr. Clarence Thomas and Miss Anita Hill, it was even words that he was speaking and gestures that he was doing. I mean, believe me, working in the field of HR, I heard some despicable stuff, and I've seen despicable things with sexual harassment. The company could stand to lose a lot of money, so the company wants to know. They have all kind of hotlines and anonymous numbers for it to be reported. And even if, let's just say I work in an office, and there are two people work there, a supervisor and another person, and I don't, and I still feel uncomfortable if I see you two doing things that are questionable, I could still report it, because it's about how it makes you feel. Now let's roll the tape to bullying in the workplace. So you have a supervisor who is condescending, treating you meanly, or coworkers, making you feel uncomfortable, putting you in a situation where you feel as though your workplace is a hostile situation. When that happens, look out. Charges could go forth. Good morning, Hypno, John, Kiva, and Paul. So, Kiva, have you heard, if you could just type into the chat room, have you heard of this at all in your workplace? Because I know you work with your supervisors, or possibly you may be a supervisor on your job. Have you heard of this at all on your job, Akiva, and also any of the others of you in the chat room? Are you familiar with this term, bullying in the workplace? Just curious. You could type that into the chat room if you have heard of bullying in the workplace, or is this your first time hearing about it? So just let me know. Yes or no. And then I have the same question for those of you on the switchboard. Is this new to you, bullying in the workplace, or is this something that you have heard of before? Yes, bullying in the workplace. That's what we're talking about this morning. And I'd like to know if you've had an experience with it, if you've heard about it. You can Google the term, and you will come up with millions of hits. By the way, there is a website. There's a website called bullyinginthworkplace.org or bullying.org. It is big. There is now a bullying association. Oh, thank you, Kiva. Yes, you've heard. Oh, and you've experienced it. Wow, well, we would love to hear a little bit about that experience. I know it may be difficult for you to type into the chat room there, but if you can type a little bit about what you're hearing now in terms of how companies are readying themselves for the onslaught of what is about to take place. So just get ready. Oh, Paul says, okay, you've heard. All right. He says, also, Arnold Schwarzenegger got sexually harassed, accusations on his films. Women come out when he ran for governor. Oh, really? Okay, okay. That happens a lot of times. People will keep silent. So if you think you've done something that's in the dark, be careful. Don't run for office. It may come out. That's what happened to Mr. Clarence Thomas when he ran for Supreme Court Justice for the United States. And Miss Anita Hill, who had been one of his interns or one of the clerks who was in his law firm, all that happened some years prior. And then she brought it out once he went through his confirmations. But he still made it in. So that, but it was so new at that point. Now, sexual harassment was not new in the workplace. It was running rampant. I mean, I know when I first got my first job in 1975, my first real job in a corporation, I remember 1975, the common phrase was things like, sleep your way to the top. You don't hear that phrase anymore, but you heard it then. It was a common term in the workplace. Some of y'all are not old enough to remember that, because by the time you made it to the workplace, things had already began to change. But when I was just my very first job, I'll never forget it, that was a common daily term, that the only way you, as a woman, for women, I don't know what the men were hearing, but I'm talking about for a woman, it was common that you have to sleep your way to the top. And that's how you got favor in the company. That's how you got favor from your supervisors. I saw it every day. It was no big deal because we were already prepped that that would happen. So that was 1974. And then you figured that Mr. Thomas went through his confirmation hearings probably somewhere around maybe 94, somewhere around there. So you figure 20 years later. I don't know the exact date. I could get it, though, in a minute. My computer's acting up a little bit. But maybe some of you have your computers. You can look up the date that he went through his confirmation hearings. But I'm suspecting maybe somewhere around there, 94, 93, some in that neighborhood. And then you see what happened. The tables turned. So the same thing, just like you didn't hear anything in the workplace about sexual harassment, and then all of a sudden it became mandatory that all employees would go through deep sexual harassment training, because the laws were so stiff, and that if anyone got charged, companies could be liable, the person themselves would be liable in the civil suits. There's so much, I mean, it's like being molested in a sense. Someone is taking something from you that you have not agreed to do. It's embarrassing. You could get fired on your job, even if you don't get fired. It's embarrassing, I think, to be labeled the person in the company that may sexually harass someone. It's done males against females and females against males. Men are not the only ones who sexually harass individuals. It's males against males, women against women. Oh, yes, all of this is happening. And as it relates to bullying in the workplace, it's not new. It's been happening. I suspect some of those same bullies in the playground are the today bullies in the workplace, or these could be new bullies. Maybe you were never a bully in school or college, but you get on the job and maybe you see the behavior somewhere and you like it on someone. And you decide, oh, I'm going to be like that. I'm going to be a mean boss. Well, I got news for you, mean bosses. Bosses who love to pounce on the quote-unquote little guy. And coworkers. I got news for you, coworkers, who a new person comes to the group, right? A new staff comes to the group, to the team. And y'all don't like her or him. You think they're corny. You think they're goofy, you think they're funny, whatever, you make fun of them, they could see that as bullying. Don't worry, the information's coming out, companies will be trained, employees will be trained on what not to do. They're putting it all together right now. As a matter of fact, they have it together, they're not putting it together, they have it together. And it's going to be a lot of changes you're going to see in this workplace. Because, again, when employees start walking off into companies with guns, machine guns, murdering up people because of the way they were treated at work, that's a problem. That's a big problem. But creating a hostile work environment, I'm going to tell you right now, the board of directors, they don't want that. The stockholders, they don't want that. Because remember, the stockholders own the company, and they want their shareholders' wealth. They want their money. So they're going to get with that CEO and make sure that that CEO understands that the workplace must be productive. And how can people be productive if they come to work feeling threatened, if they come to work in a hostile environment? They cannot. Now, in the past, the bullies, just like on the street and in certain other areas where we've heard about the mafia bully type, where they're even bullying the police and things like that. So in some companies, the bullies control a lot of people, people above them and people around them. Well, bullies, they're coming after you. So if I was you, I would look into another profession. I would look into another personality. Now, so guess what? What do you think Coach Lalisa is going to do? Well, I have to be involved with this. Some of you know my background is in human resources. My background is also in training. So I'm going to be training people on how to protect themselves against the bully and also coaching the bully on how to be nice. Okay? So that's another area. So that's what we talk about all the time, about opportunity. And people would say, oh, wow, Lalisa, how did that happen? Well, it's just about being in the right place, I guess you could call it, at the right time. But opportunity is always going to come about. It doesn't matter what field. I don't care if you sing, dance, you could write, you could be a doctor, lawyer. It doesn't matter what field you're in, business owner. Opportunities are everywhere, all the time, and they're going to always come. The problem why so many people don't get opportunities that others get, very simple. There's a simple reason why some people never, ever get the opportunities that others get. I can tell you in like three or four words, I can tell you one of the biggest secrets to living successful, living happy, living fulfilled. The reason why so many people do not get the same opportunities as others is because those same people do not prepare themselves. Therefore, when the opportunity comes, they're not able to walk in it. And now the reason why they don't prepare themselves is because, for the most part, is because they sit around and they're waiting to do something when the opportunity gets there and it's too late. I'm telling you, I love to keep it as real as I can for a coach. I try to keep it as real as I can. The reason why a non-successful person can never take advantage of opportunities when they come because it's too late. You need to be prepared when the opportunity gets there, which means you have to have faith. You have to have, see, success and faith go together, hand in hand. And I think Mr. Paul was talking about that on the other day on the show. Oh, he was our wonderful guest. Let's give it up for Mr. Paul Carazzi. Oh, Paul, I got my awesome audio book. I was looking it over yesterday. That thing is, I can't wait to listen to it. I was sharing it with another young lady who was here at the house, and we were discussing some. We were looking at each of the CDs, and we can't wait to pop those in. And so thank you for also being my guest on Friday, standing in for the guest who was not able to show up due to their travel and being caught up in travel. But you were absolutely great, wonderful, fabulous, and thank you to each and every one of you also for tuning in each and every day to the Coach Lalisa Show. And thank you to all the new persons tuning in. If you just tuned in to Coach Lalisa for the very first time, this is your first time. We celebrate you, congratulate you, and welcome you
to the motivation zone. Well, we're going to motivate you, empower you, and inspire you, but we have to keep it real. So we were talking today about bullying in the workplace. It's about to blow up. It's going to be so big. So as a coach, I'm going to go in to companies and coach the bully on how to not be a bully. That's pretty funny, right? Well, there are some steps they can do, sort of like a 12-step program. You know, how you can, because in essence, for some bullying, they're addicted to bullying. They love telling people what to do. They love being mean. They love walking around like they got all the power. So, no, they didn't sexually harass you. They didn't touch you in any inappropriate places, or they didn't, you know, refer to any, you know, graphic descriptions of any kind of sexual innuendos or anything like that. And they didn't have any nude pictures hanging in their office or somewhere that was offensive to you. Every time you come into their office, they want to put on something, you know, whatever. So though they didn't do any of that, but they're just mean and they're harsh, and they better be careful. And if you know anybody like that, you may want to go to the website, bullying.bullyinginTheWorkplace.org. You might want to pull that up. Now, this is a little bit, this is not, it's bullying, it's bullying, but I know everybody knows about the major bullying conferences and workshops that are going on for the youth. And the big one, there's a big one coming up in Canada in February, I believe, February or March. Then there's a big one coming up in Vegas, this bullying company, bullying.org. They go around the country, if not the world. Well, the world, obviously. And they're doing these workshops to teach young people how to protect themselves. We're not talking about that bullying. That's for the youth. This bullying is for grown people on the job, bullying their coworkers, bullying their staff. They better watch out. So you might want to print them out an article and show it to them. If you know a bully, if you know a bully at home, assume that they're bullying at work. They may not be. They may not be. Because maybe they're taking out all their anger at home with you. And maybe at work, they're nice and easygoing and laid back and don't say anything out of the way. Or it could be the other way around. Maybe you have someone at home that's so nice and sweet and innocent, so you think this person is great. Well, you may be surprised if you see them get fired because they were brought up on charges of bullying in the workplace. When this thing blows, companies are going to just straight fire you the same way they do sexual harassment. People are just going to get fired. There's going to be no questions about it. Now, some companies may offer solutions like bringing in a coach to coach the person out of that behavior. Because you can't really train a person. I mean, they're going to send them to training, yes. But some people are beyond training. So you can't train every problem away. You can't train every skill to perfection. Some people need to be coached. They need a mind change. That's basically what coaching is good for. Coaching is good for getting people to see things differently. And as you see it differently in your mind and you thinking differently, you can now do differently. So they're gonna need coaches. And so I'm going to be right there to say, hey, I'll coach you out of that bully state. Well, one, because, you know, when you have experience with coaching and then you have experience with having been a bully. And I've probably been a bully, but I've experienced being bullied. Haven't been too much of a bully, but I've probably bullied a time or two in my life. Okay, Kiva, thank you. She's chatting it up in the chat room there. She said she experienced it, and then woohoo, Paul. Okay, great. Glad you got the CDs. Thank you. Yes. And now Kiva typed in the chat room. A website is called the Bully Free Work. Oh no, I'm sorry. Bullyfreeatwork.com. Oh, it's a blog. Thank you, Kiva. You know I'm going to get on that blog and offer my coaching services. Thank you. Love you, Kiva. She said she went online and found bullyfreeatwork.com. /blog. It's a blog where you can blog about the bully. I'm telling you, all of you coaches out there, I'm giving you a heads up. Don't say I never gave you anything. I'm giving you a heads up, coaches. Learn all you can about this because you may have a lot of work coming your way. There may, and all of you others who are in any kind of field of coaching or training, man up. I'm giving you a tip. I'm giving you a hot one. This is just like a stock market at this point. I'm like they used to, that commercial, when John Hancock speaks, they used to put their little ear, like everybody listens. I'm giving you a hot tip. All right, you authors, you people in the workplace training, you want to jump on this one. Don't say, I'll never be accused of have kept everything to myself, and I could have. But why not? Why should I? I want to share with you all. It would be, I can't do all the training that they're going to need because I know personally how big this problem is. Now, if I thought there was only one company with three people that needed this training, I probably would have kept it to myself and just went and did the training. Or if I didn't know how to do the training. But since I do, and I know that there's going to be enough work for us to stay busy for the rest of our lives and our children's lives and our, go on and teach your grandchildren how to be bully coaches, because I'm telling you, the problem is humongous. Think about it. Let's look at our prison system. Probably, I don't know the percentage-wise, but I would say at least 20% of the people who are locked up did some kind of bully situation possibly on their job, and that's how they ended up in jail. Trust me, I know what I'm talking about. Believe me, you, on this, believe me on that one. Trust me on that one. And anybody else experienced this bullying in the workplace? Anybody else on here experience bullying in the workplace? Please, these phone lines are open. And I'm telling you, it is really, really bad. I have another friend who works in a very, very, very big company. And she works with individuals who are being brought up on charges of this already. As a matter of fact, she is the one who told me, LaLisa, this is hot. You better get on it, because she knows I'm in this field. And so because I'm in the field, I did know about it. I didn't know it had escalated to this level. It has escalated just in the time that I was dealing with it back in 2000. I was dealing with it back in 2003, because I also was in an organization where there was a bully who was bullying her staff, and here's what happened. All of her staff quit. Now, the company was also under her bully ship, I could say, and therefore, I couldn't figure out why they wouldn't get rid of this person, why they would continue to let her bully people and create a hostile work environment. But that's because the laws weren't there yet to protect the individuals, okay? And so people are afraid to lose their jobs because they have so many financial things tied to their jobs. So they got their mortgage, the children's education, their own livelihood, their own well-being is tied to the job. And so they will suffer bullying just to keep a paycheck and to keep food on the table. And, you know, we can't argue with them. It's the same way in domestic violence situations. People say, well, why did you stay 20 years or 15 years or 10 years or 5 years? Well, sometimes underneath a person staying through all that are the financial benefits, and the material benefits that come with the marriage. Though we do see people who are in poverty stay. So we're not talking about that. We're not saying every case they stay for finances. But in a lot of cases, they do. People don't want to disrupt their families. They don't want to change their status quo. If I live in a house, I don't want to go back to living in an apartment, so I'll stay and I'll suffer the abuse. Well, the abuse in the workplace is very similar, especially when it's tied to a person's job and they're making $50,000, $60,000, $80,000, $90,000, $100,000. They're not going to give that up. But however, now that they're going to have some backup, I'm going to open up this caller's line, and we're going to hear from you now. Area code 301, welcome to the Coach Lisa Show. Tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Good morning, Melissa. This is Insa Ferry calling from Maryland. I just want a little clarity. Is accusation on the job the same in the category of bullying, where coworkers and supervisors make accusations towards other employees or coworkers?
Okay, when you say an accusation, what do you mean by an accusation? Give me an example of an accusation.
One coworker will say that she, like a he said, she said situation, or the coworker is doing their specific job description as well as the supervisor has given and trained the employee, and another employee, another coworker, preferably wants to be more of the lead. Coworker said, "Well, this is a better way of doing it," but the coworker who has been trained to do a specific job description is following the job description itself, but being accused by other coworkers that that's not the right procedure, or they're holding the team back.
Well, yeah, and see, that's where this training will, you know, where the, some of the documents will kind of spell out. But, yeah, some things like that. It would be examples of, like, for instance, is the workplace environment hostile? In other words, is it kind of cutthroat?
Say,
for instance, you have a coworker. Like, I had this happen one time on a job where I felt as though someone was disrupting my workspace, you know, like trying to sabotage me in a sense. Maybe
right.
Someone is afraid that you're going to get a promotion that they want, or sometimes it could be favor. Some employees love being the favored of the supervisor or the manager or the higher ups, and so they were in that position for a while and they had that spot. Then here you come along, and now you are a bright, shining kind of person, and now you may steal some of their light, so to speak. So they begin to act in ways to eliminate you in terms of trying to get you fired, trying to make you look bad, destroying your paperwork, things of that nature.
And that would be still in consideration, category,
sure,
of bullying. Okay.
Right.
I just need to be sure that situations that I know of.
Yeah, it could be also the bully could be trying to manipulate and take advantage, again, like opportunities to get ahead, much like in the sexual harassment situation where people are typically doing that to try to get ahead. You know, oftentimes those relationships, when they, in the sexual harassment case, they never last. The person was only doing it to get ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as they get what they want, you know, they sometimes dump the person, even if they were involved with a person. Also, under this new concept of bullying at work and in the workplace, the bully could also have created this environment where, you know, various promotions, and you may get promoted, and all of a sudden now people are very aggressive toward you, okay? Let's just say you got employee of the month. You know, an employee of the month meant you got $100 or whatever they gave you. And all of a sudden now your coworkers are being aggressive towards you, as if, just like what the same thing children do. It's nothing new. Bullying is the same bullying. So remember at school how some kids, because you came to school with something new and your parents were able to buy it for you and the other kid couldn't get it for them, and so they picked on you?
Yes, I follow you.
Same kind of scenario, but just roll it up to adulthood. So I'm trying to prepare people who tune into the Coach Lalisa Show. We want to be the best. We want to have the best personalities we can have. We want to have the best job performances that we can have. So we certainly don't want to be that bully. And so people have to be careful when you go on a job of who you hang with.
Like, you may get on the job, you're brand new, you don't really know anyone. You might want to lay back and watch the scenario for a while before you just jump in and make friends with somebody. Because here's what the bully will do. More so than the quiet, shy type of personality. The bully will want to grab everyone on their side as soon as possible. So the bully, the minute you come to the department or to that team, the bully is going to latch on to you and try to get you to befriend them.
That's true. Very true. And I've seen that often on jobs.
They're looking for allies.
They go and come go to lunch with us. We're doing this after work. And then all of a sudden, it just switches up and the person doesn't know what has occurred. You know, if they offended someone or if they just did, you know, it's just an uncomfortable position to be in for one.
Yes. That can happen. Whereas, you know, a little quiet person, they may not try to get to know you too quickly. They're, you know, kind of quiet or shy. But the bully needs to weed you out. Either you're on their side or you're not. So either you're with them or they're going to bully you. It's their, you know, it's your choice, basically. It's almost the way gang members do. If you move on a street or a community where there are gang members, your child has to make a decision, and the gang is going to test them. Well, the same thing as the bully. The bully is like a small gang, and it may be more than one of them. The more than likely, the bully is not most bullies are not loners that I know of.
Mm-hmm.
Bullies have two or three people with them somewhere along the way. That's why when we were growing up, our parents told us, well, if you want to take the bully out, you got to get the bully by themselves. Typically, get a bully alone, they're typically very a fearful kind of people.
Right.
So you got a bully boss or.
Where,
say that again?
I've heard of one employee that laid off about 30-something people at one time because they knew this law was about to come into effect. It was generating. Mm-hmm. So they just cleaned out two of the corporate office and also their satellite office. And it ended up to be a total of 33 people and started afresh.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot for 1 year.
No, it's a lot.
That's a lot.
Because a
the bullies,
lot.
The bullies are in groups. They're in cells. You know, you have maybe five in one office, and then they get promoted and move to another area, another department, and may not even be in the same building. And they connect because the departments are all connected together. And so any new person or anyone who steps out of line in the group is castrated or isolated, you know, so they're not on any team or have any association that they can have just general conversations in the workplace.
Okay, well, we do have another call. Let's see what this caller wants to chime in and say, so just stand by if you can. Going to open up their phone line. Good morning and welcome to the Code to Elisa. You're on the air. Tell us your name and where you're calling from. Area code 323.
Hey, good morning. This is a great show. I'm calling from Compton, California. And
welcome.
This is my first time. I just heard about the blog radio. It's great. And this is a great topic.
Oh, wonderful. And so how did you hear? So you were just tuning into Blog Talk Radio?
Someone was suggesting that I check into it. But the subject this morning is amazing because I'm a national EEO representative, and I deal with this on every level.
I just send people that
can't speak up.
But wait a minute. You said you are a national EEOC.
That's right.
Wow.
I'm the defender.
It's almost as if I just went out and got an expert to come on here. Wow, I'm amazed. God is so good. So, yes, Go ahead.
Okay. One thing that I do when I represent my clients, I go to management and I explain to them, when I come to you, I'm coming to you with a situation. It's not a problem because there's two sides to every story.
Right.
9 chances out of 10, the bully has its own issue. And
mm-hmm.
that's what we have to understand. It's never about the person being bullied. You don't know what they come from.
Mm-hmm.
And when I come at them in a passively aggressive way, and I let them know I'm not a fighter, I'm a winner, because I don't come at you with BS. Every case I come to you with is clear. And I just want people to get along. We don't go to work to be friends. We
mm-hmm.
don't go to work
right.
to join
right.
cliques. We go to work to do a job.
Right.
The place where I work, because I do that, the EEO representation I do independently, and I branched out when I was a shop steward for 14 years. And I learned that the unions sometime are too in the bed with management. And
mm-hmm.
I wanted to be for the employee. I don't have to answer to anybody but that person who needs my help. I did some research of my own, and I learned that a lot of bullies are sociopaths. And that is the core. If you could get to the core, the main bully at my place of employment, which is well known to everybody, we're kind of known for being the ones who go off, but we don't. We're human. But the bully in my workplace, he's number one, I'm number two. He bullies the employees, I bully him. But I bully him with the truth, and I bully him by staying in the right, and I don't have to fear him. But I do notice that he has issues of he wants to be the center of attention. So he creates all of this.
Yes,
if you
he does.
Kill a bully with kindness,
yes.
knock them out. They want to get a reaction. Don't
yes.
give it to them. By
yes.
no means don't ever let anybody harm you. But employees have to know that they have more rights, whether private or union-based, that you cannot fire somebody because they filed a complaint. And in the field that I'm in, EEO, understand now, EEOC is management. That's why I'm kind of individualized in what I do, because I'm the individual. I'm the one that comes in the middle so we can both see one side to another. It is illegal to bully a person on the job. A lot of people don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
It's against the law.
And see, and that, yes, that is, see, and that's where, you know, we're here trying to help people get ahead of the situation before it comes down on them.
Right.
One, if they are being bullied, help them out. And if they are the bully, so I like what you said, how you are helping those that are bullied and reminding us that there are two sides to the story. But yes, and so what else have you seen in terms of the workplace and how the workplace upper management is responding to these charges of bullying? Because the research shows that this hostile work environment can damage a person's health.
Right. Exactly. It's a lot of reasons why they have attendance problems. In a lot of situations, the upper management, okay, here's a point I tried to make to our top manager. How do you go up the chain of command when the chain is corrupt? In our chain of command, the bully is our link to the upper management.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what we were saying. I know you didn't tune in when we first started the show, but we a lot of times
mm-hmm.
the bully, yes, is also bullying of others, or those, or the bullying is coming down from the top, and so that's a whole nother.
That's another thing that's very significant.
You know, you asked about it affecting someone's health. I have a coworker slash she's not my client. She had to go get an attorney, but I have a situation where a young lady who had an autoimmune problem, she got sick, and she got upset because she was being bullied by a team of bullies and their managers. So she started to feel bad. They would not call 911 for her. She called herself, and you'll be hearing about that. That's going to make the news. But because she has lupus, and the managers know this, and they upset her so bad that they had to call the paramedics.
Wow.
And those things can happen. I've seen people get bullied, their blood pressure will go up. You know, and it's always management in our field.
Melissa, I've seen on one job, and I didn't know it was actually a bully. A coworker has been bullied so bad that she literally had a breakdown, and she left the job the next day. She couldn't take the next day off. She came back, and she sat there and literally cried for 8.5 hours. And then I think the following week they told her her services were no longer needed.
My goodness.
Literally cried every day. Because when I walked past her cubicle, I thought she had an allergy or something, you know, tearing and whatnot. And she tried her best. Everything she did was never good enough for the team members or the supervisor or whoever was in charge of that unit. And then she left, and about a month later, coworker said, "I don't know if she made it or not." So it is a very serious issue.
You know, a lot of people need to know too that when with the EEO, it's your equal rights commission. You can make a complaint against your employer, and go see a doctor, because most people who succeed in the claim filing, when they have seen a psychologist that can back up the fact mm-hmm. that this affects them mentally, that's where it becomes civil. That's where you can get the actual, you make them pay attention. Because first of all, to file the complaint costs money. It costs the company money. They don't want to deal with that. But everybody who's an employer, that's why you look when they say we're EEOC employer, or equal opportunity employer, I'm sorry. That's a stronghold. But if you don't know your rights, they can treat you any kind of way. Now, if an employee is bullying you, it is still on the manager, because they're supposed to ensure a safe work environment. So if there's someone there causing a hostile work environment, it is an unsafe act. It puts you in danger, and management is still responsible. So we go through these things where I don't want to be a snitch, or I don't want to tell.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever. Sometimes I notice, and I wouldn't tell anybody to confront. You don't confront a bully. But if you come to them at a different level and let them know, look, we don't come here for this. I just want to do my job. And I don't want to take this any further. Unfortunately, I'm not that mature when it happens to me. When they bullied me, I bullied them, and that's how I got in my position. Because the bully is a coward. First thing we got to know, a bully is a coward. Hiding behind those hollow threats are those hollow actions that they take against someone. That's what they do. So,
yes.
A lot of I have a question. A lot of employees say free will act, meaning they can terminate you for whatever reason.
Oh, yeah.
How, I don't know if we can come up with an answer or a response to this, how is that going to be in effect with the bullying bylaws that's coming into effect? Or how would you, as an EEO
representative,
deal with that? I mean, how is that?
Well, first of all, in any form of employment, you could sue them for wrongful termination. That's why you have to keep. And another thing, when you are going through this, it's important to keep a journal, because it does two things. It kind of helps you vent and get it off your chest. It keeps things, especially when they first happen, it keeps a chronological order of events that have happened to you. And if you have to go to court later on for damages, they're going to ask to see your journals.
Mm-hmm.
And they help to prove it. Now, you can get a lawyer that handles wrongful terminations. If you've been bullied, you have to let that employer know, okay, look, the actions or the way this person is speaking to me is, you know, I feel that they're creating a hostile work environment or that it's uncomfortable to me. You know, even Bianca, see, sexual harassment is a big one. But
mm-hmm.
and that's handled in different places. But what they have to understand is they still have those rights. And they could seek out an attorney, which I'm going to look, you know, I'm going to try to look up myself and get information to you, you know, so you can forward it to your listeners. And the strength is in the knowing. But, yes, they can file against the employer for wrongful termination, whether it is to get their job back.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Well, and what we also know is that bullying in the workplace, where these employees are creating what is called and has been termed, and the legal term is has created a hostile work environment, and that is already written under the sexual harassment laws. So you're right what you're saying, Miss California. I don't know your name.
My name is Lisa. Also, was well, oh, hey, Lisa.
Lisa and Lil Lisa.
Yeah,
Lisa and Lil Lisa. Lisa and Lil Lisa, so like Little Lisa and Lisa. So Lil Lisa,
right.
Lisa, yeah. So now, right now, people can go, and the law is right there. They're going to put it right under the sexual harassment law. It's already been written into the law. Hostile work environment is a no-no. And so
right.
You would do well to definitely take Lisa's heed, keep those journals. Now, my mother was an EEOC officer for probably about 15 years for the IRS. I can say that now because she's retired and she actually passed away. So I don't have to worry about her getting fired. I don't have to worry about any retaliation from the IRS against my mother. But my mother was EEOC for a good 15 years or more. So she would come home and talk with two coworkers about things. And so I would hear some of the things that they talked about. Also, I have a very good friend who is a EEOC officer at a very big company. I'm not going to name the company. I'm not going to name her because there could be some jeopardy there. But I'm getting a lot of my information from inside. And there's another lady I know who also works with employee dispute resolution. And so that is why we're bringing this topic to you, because it is big, and there are some signs of, and callers, just hold on 1 second, because I want to read some of these signs if you feel that you are being bullied in the workplace, and you feel that some of these things are happening to you. There's a book out there. There's an institute, the Workplace Bullying and Trauma Institute. They're not playing with this. This is big. Now, get this. They are saying that although anyone can become a victim, they said in the United States, 80% of the time, 80%, hear this good, 80% of the time, the person that is being bullied is a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's how that number differs from the sexual harassment number. 50% of the known bullies, they say, are women. No, 58%. Now, this is coming from the Workplace Bullying Trauma Institute. And you know, institute right there suggests a lot of research. They've done the surveys. 58% are women bullying other women.
Mm-hmm.
That's even more despicable. See, because that's about all underlying that causes all of that jealousy stuff.
Right.
Yes.
You don't even need to be a super psychologist or psychoanalyst to understand where some of that behavior is coming from. All of that jealousy, look at the young lady who wanted to be a skater and the other lady didn't want her to win the ice skating champion and then she tripped the girl or tried to break her ankle and all of that. It's just a slight case. people on the job wanting to be overly aggressive to, like you said, bring attention to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
These are the statistics coming out of the Institute, and there's a book you can get. It's called Work Abuse, How to Recognize and How to Survive It. So, again, they're going to have people like myself and like Lisa coming in and managing these individuals who are bullies. Sometimes you can't just get rid of the bully at work because the bully has too much tacit knowledge. Now, some bullies don't even know that they have tacit knowledge. They may not even know what it is. But CEOs know, and leaders of strategic planning and all that, they know what tacit knowledge is, and they know that you just can't get rid of people in your company who have tacit knowledge in their head.
Mm-hmm.
If it's in a book, fine, let them leave. You can have someone else read the book and do it. But when it's in a person's head, you know how people, they just do the job. They've just been doing it for so long. They do it so well, and success happens. Well, they're not going to be too quick to get rid of that bully, and so companies are going to find ways to protect that person. But here's how you can protect yourself, and here are some of the things that you can watch out for. For instance, people who feel that your work is never good enough. If you get that sense, if your boss kicks back everything you do, they never think you measure up, they all, you know, negative things to say, they need to watch it, because those could be signs of creating a hostile work environment.
Yes.
Some of the signs are, you know, poor health, depression. You know, there's workplace stress everywhere. And you can't, if you got stress on the job, you can't go and claim that you've been bullied and try to get some compensation or restitution for that. No, there's stress on jobs, period. Some people are stressed when they got to get up in the morning. But if you're legitimately being depressed from your work, if the boss tries to humiliate you or is constantly making you feel humiliated. We had a boss like that. She would right there in front of everybody, "You idiot, you didn't do it this way," in front of everybody. Now, they could get away with that 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Not anymore. You consciously feeling anxious or agitated at work. You even dread the start of a work week. So some of that could just be pure stress, but some of it could be this hostile work environment. Now, this is information coming from the Workplace Bullying Trauma Institute. If you have someone who is constantly interfering with the task you're trying to complete, you see, you should be able to work on, you know, you're even your little kids. I watch my little grandson. He's only 4 and a half. If I give him a puzzle to work on, or if I give him, you know, something to draw or whatever, and I interrupt him, he gets a little disturbed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? This is a natural human behavior. People want to complete the projects they're working on. And as a manager, supervisor, you need to let people complete it. Rushing in before they're done to put in your 2 cents or to tell them they're doing it wrong, you better watch that, because they're being told by the Workplace Bullying and Trauma Institute that that could be a sign of bullying in the workplace. Other things like being yelled at, we said that already, in front of others, but punished, and then punished if you yell back. I've seen companies do that. You yell back, now they're ready to fire you or lay you off, or they're ready to suspend you. And so what I do, when I train, when I do training classes, I tell my staff, because I do training at my job, I tell the people, you should praise in public and correct in private only.
What?
I said, if you're doing it any other way, you're wrong. You never reprimand or correct in public, ever. You do that in private. Anyway, so they're like, what? Some didn't even know this. There are managers who did not even know they're supposed to do that. They've never heard this before, and that's why I love what you said, Lisa, about giving them the benefit of the doubt, listening to them. They also have issues. Some managers have been put in managerial positions without any professionalism or ethical or in training, absolutely none. They knew how to do the job well, and then they were promoted. Just have a couple more, and then we'll open back up for discussion. They say also, like when you start requesting a transfer of a position because you're trying to get out from under that bully so that you can get your health together, your life together, your family together, and you're constantly denied, there might be a sign that the bully wants to keep you there so they can continue to bully you. Just like in a marriage sometimes, when the spouse who's abusing you, they don't want to treat you good, but they don't want you to leave.
Right.
They don't want to treat you well, but they don't want you to go. No, you know, so suffer that. You constantly are feeling stressed about work, even when you're at home. You're at home and you're worried to death about projects that you shouldn't be. At home, you should be focused on your family, your children, your spouse, your relationships, yourself. You shouldn't be focused on what happened at work. You feel exhausted on your days off, or you're uninterested in activities that you used to enjoy. Do you hear this? Some of these signs are the same signs that you hear from domestic violence teachings. If your family suggests to you that suggests you to leave work at that office, and your doctor asks you about what could be causing your health problems, you know, this is when a doctor doesn't know what's causing your problems. Hello. That's suggesting that it may be something going on at work, because typically they can tell if it's the foods you're eating. They can tell if it's, you know, one of your organs isn't properly working right. They can typically, usually after a few assessments, and they can diagnose what the problem is, what's the cause. But when they can't tell, it may be something at work. And like they say, if your family is telling you, would you please leave that work at the office, that means you're coming home stressed and you're stressing them out. So it does carry over beyond the workplace. And then if you start to think somehow that you've caused the bullying, if you begin to think things like, well, I am too shy, or I don't have enough confidence in myself, or I'm not that good, if you start thinking like that, you may want to look at it. So anyway, get the book, Bullying at Work. Get that, and there are some things you can do so you can acknowledge, and so we could talk about some of those things at another point. But those are some signs, and I wanted to share those because there was another woman on Facebook who, when she found out I was going to be doing this topic, she said, oh, Lalisa, please take that. I think I'm having some situations myself, and I need to know more about it. So at this juncture, I'm going to say back to you, Lisa. And it's
know,
a theory.
Some of the signs you read, which I do know that too. And it's funny how they say the carpenter has the weakest house, the hairdresser has the hat on. I can defend everyone except myself when it comes
I
down to it.
I concur with that. I can defend everybody else, but I'm very weak on defending myself and things that I see that are directed to me in different scenarios or situations.
But it's sad because what has happened to me is I've been really tired. I've been sleeping a lot. I've stopped my cases totally for the last 3 weeks. I'm not taking any new cases. I'm just tired. And I haven't been able to even get out of bed because I deal with a lot of things because on top of me understanding the bullies in my workplace, I kind of feel this main bully is bullied at home. Then he comes to work, like, you know, I believe his wife is a strong one. He comes to work, and he takes that out on everyone else. Then we have another bully that's very petite, and he tells us, oh, she's like that because she's petite. Okay, but that doesn't mean, or that's their culture to do that. Now, that's where I'm having issues because different cultures get it for different reasons. And my culture is always the one that has to understand everyone else's culture. But when it comes down to, oh, you may be that way culturally, my culture is when you do this to us, you get jumped on. You wouldn't understand that if that's how I took it. So a lot of times your problems come with, wait, baby, the things that you hold in. I'm sorry, that's my granddaughter in the background. The things that you hold in affect your health. So that's why, like, I have clients with autoimmune. They can be fine as long as they're in a pleasant work environment. But as soon as it gets hostile, I notice they have to have more treatments. Or they go down. I removed one, the one that had that issue I told you about. She was removed and sent to another shift. And she's doing 100% better.
Wow. And here's the thing, people, what they're saying is that, like you started out, Lisa, by saying that people go to work not to be bullied, not unfriendly, So we shouldn't have all these clicks and things going on. People come to work to be productive. When the CEO is chosen by the board of directors, by the stockholders who are the ones who've invested the money in the company. Now, I know the government is different because the government does not work with a board of directors and CEOs. They're working on the taxpayers' dollars.
Exactly.
Working from the money that the taxpayers are working. So, essentially, the working people are the stockholders in that sense.
Right.
And that's why when there's high unemployment, that's why you will see the government rush to try to create jobs. It may not look like they're rushing, but they're rushing. Because
right.
they know as long as people are working, taxes are coming out of their paycheck.
That's right.
And those go to government programs of all kinds.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't sit here and name them all, but that's what they have. So anyway, now you have in this company, CEOs want, stockholders want the company to be productive. They really don't care about your clicks. However, in some companies, the CEO may be the biggest perpetrator
mm-hmm.
of bullying. The CEO may be bullying upper management, who's bullying mid-management, who's
right.
bullying lower management, who's bullying the supervisors, who's bullying the staff.
Trickle down.
And you think the staff are going to stop? No. The staff is going to bully who? Typically, the customers. And so all of you have been, I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, have been at the hand of some bullified employee in places that you said, I'll never go back there.
Now, if I may say, I have been at a job at one point in my life where there was two separate sides, and under the structure of the CEO and board of trustees, I believe it came from them directly. One side of the company was the customer service who dealt with the customers. On the other side was like, I can't say middle management, but management who dealt with the other corporations who they solicit business from. And they treated them totally different.
Well, guess what?
Different.
Well, I'm going to stop you right there. Unfortunately, we're out of time. However, that's all right. Don't worry. I don't have a guest scheduled for tomorrow. So please write down your thought. And if you can tune in tomorrow, we will finish and we will do Workplace Bullying Part 2. So we have less than 60 seconds. And I also want to give out some tips on how a person can stop the workplace bullying. So some things that, you know, you can do in terms of taking off sick and confronting the bully. We don't want you confronting people that are going to make it a more hostile. So that's all we have time for, this wonderful, wonderful celebration of Dr. Martin Luther King. He was about nonviolence. So I thought this was a great fitting topic for us to talk about. We want to be able to resolve conflicts in the workplace without the violence, without bullying people, without people feeling that their workplace is hostile, so that their health can be good and improved, and you don't have to. Thank you so much, Lisa and Nesafiri. Thank you for calling in. Thank you, our expert today, a national
Yo,
I think that is so cool. I just love God. He is amazing to me. So I would definitely love to talk to you, Miss Lisa.
I will be back.
So definitely, if I could call you after the show, I would love to do that because I do have other questions. Okay, great. I have other questions for you, and I think I have your number. I'm not sure, but if I don't, you can leave it for me right on my page, or you can inbox me on Facebook, actually.
Okay.
Lil Lisa Williams on Facebook. You can inbox me your number,
okay.
Lisa, and I will contact you. And all of you who tuned in, thank you, Mr. Paul, and thank you, Kiva, and Tina and the others who have tuned into the show today. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And guess what? We got to move past this bullying thing. Yes. And Paul said he said it was a very important show. Yes, Paul, we got to teach people how to have the James Bond attitude. They got to go to work, and they got to be James Bond. And what that simply means is that you have to take control of your workplace. Okay, how did we end up? I'm sorry, you know what? We actually have 20 minutes remaining to the show, so I do apologize. I thought we were, okay, so we have 20 minutes left. How about that? So who was talking? I think it was Ms. Fairy, you were talking?
Right, I was talking. And
finish.
My thought was I was experiencing on one job from the CEO and board of directors how they had split the company in half. One part of the company, particularly where I work, was customer service. And the customer service was actually dealing with the customers. And the other half of the room was management to solicit and manage the customers who they solicit for. And they actually treated the people totally different. And they had a different attitude, too. And it was like if we came together at particularly Christmas party, it was like, okay, they sat on one side of the room and we sat on the other side of the room. And it was like no mingled together of personalities and characteristics alike. But we were all there for the same purpose. And it just kind of amazed me how they divided, and you could never get promoted to the other side. You might be promoted to a team leader, so to speak, but you would never get promoted to supervisor or to the management side. It was just they just never incorporated. It started out to be a mom and pop company, and then the company mom and pop sold to a Fortune 500, and they never expanded. They remodeled the place after I left, you know, and I think they did one little promotion, you know, where someone was leaving the company as a supervisor, and you have like 30 people, should I say 20 people for two positions or one position, and that was just like, okay, where do you go with this?
And it was
just interesting. You know, and the pressure for the customer service side would be on, I'm going to say everybody, because you would want to know a job. You go to work, and you work to work the job so that the money can work for you and maybe promote up so that you don't have to look other places because it's convenient to your family and your lifestyle. But when you treat one side of your management with no room for improvement, but management could always move out to other companies from their experience there, but the other side could move in. It was just like, I don't understand that. You know, it was, I don't know, it baffled me. But I was happy that I was able to move on to another company.
Yeah, you had to, though. you shouldn't have had to. That's the whole problem. Even though bullying, you're going to find it everywhere. We had it in school. We have families. Everywhere you turn, it's there. But we do have to come together as people, you know, people first, and understand that, you know, I had a bully come at me one way at one time, and I just took her to the side. I didn't confront her in front of anyone. I took her to the side, said, come here, let me talk to you. She was my superior, and I let her know that beyond that badge, we are the same, and I'm not going to let you disrespect me because I'm not the one. But a lot of people are afraid to take those steps. Now, in private companies, they can do those things, you know, but the whole thing is, bullying, when it becomes a threat to your health, a threat is an assault. Be it physical, emotional, psychological, it's still a crime. And we have to learn, we have to learn how to get behind just how we were violated and work those issues within our rights to protect ourselves, even in private companies, because that's what they fear.
Not only that, Lisa, you're absolutely right, because physiologically, when one is attacked in any of those areas that you mentioned, physiologically, it attacks on a person's bladder and then it works within the liver. Because all of a sudden you find that you have pain, flashing pain, acute pain, and then if you don't attack it properly and examine yourself, is this something I like? Is it imagination or is this something real? And when a person comes to realize that it's real, then they need to address it audibly, outside, externally, in a manner in which you're speaking. And when people don't, it becomes a chronic health issue to life and health.
Don't think bullies won't try to fight back now. They're going to try to keep their positions. Just know you got to do your homework, just as with the sexual harassment and discrimination. You got to keep those journals. You got to document maybe if others have quit, so that's costing the company money and productivity and hiring cost. If there's a large turnover rate as a result of that bully, so that when it's time to go to upper management, so you can make the case. I mean, sometimes, believe it or not, the company may have wanted to get rid of that person too. But because, like I said, that because of that tacit knowledge, maybe they weren't able to. So you going to them with information may be the very thing they can use to now get rid of that person. However, as Lisa stated, and as some of us know, sometimes upper management will side with the bully. I got a situation like that right now. The upper management is siding with the bully. Everyone knows it.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone can see the turnover rate. Everyone, I mean, it's even a joke to joke about this person being so mean to people. I mean, just degrading people in front of others, but upper management is on his side from the CEO all the way down.
So
they won't give him, but I'll tell you what, I bet you as soon as they're ready to get rid of him, they will. As soon as they're ready.
At whose
expense? Or either allow them to retire to get all their benefits. They will allow them time to retire and get all of their benefits, and no one else can come behind them because they have made historical movements in the corporations by bullying people like that.
Sure.
And a lot of times they feel that gets the job done. The bully in our company gone to court, and the whole thing, people come to me and say, why is he still here? And matter of fact, you know, he and I get along fine because he knows that he can't bully me. But the whole thing is he was afraid with this last case that came up, and, you know, he thought he was gone. And when he came back this last time and nothing has happened, he's even questioning it. Why? You know, why am I still here?
But here's the thing. What you don't want to happen is you don't want the bully to bully the wrong person. Everybody knows the stories of when you bully the wrong person, like the Columbine case and other cases.
We make the news.
You bully the wrong person, they go out, they get themselves something, they come back, and then innocent people. Typically, they don't even hit the bully. Innocent people then lose their lives or lose something. Why? Because it wasn't dealt with. But guess what? That's why we're bringing this show to you. It's about to be dealt with like never before because of the, you know, a lot of times in society, you know, several people have to lose their lives or people have to lose their lives to where it makes such a prominent statement that it becomes glaring to the whole world that this is happening. You know, they're saying out of statistics that one in six employees are being bullied. One in six. Yeah, in the U.S.
A lot of people
are targeted, by bullies at work.
And surprisingly also, Lalisa, people, when they come in, and we know that they do background checks on people from job to job, they know people who are timid, and they will hire them just on the principle because they add to their status statistics for bullying them. They know they're easy to get in, and they're easy to get out. And they will hire them on that principle. And the person will get to the job, get in the position, do a wonderful job, feeling extraordinary, on top of the world, and then all of a sudden they see those same signs come in again. And then they know. it's only a matter of time they'll be back unemployed.
I work for a company where they just send a bully somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah, the bully doesn't want to face another bully, so sure, if they got anything to do with the hiring, they're going to bring in people that they feel can be a target or a victim. They're going to look for that in the interview. As the interview process is happening, you know, you wonder why you didn't get the job. Well, maybe you didn't get the job because you're a little too tough.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that company isn't looking at that. Like in some companies, that's the status quo, is that the bullies rule. There are, I mean, I actually know organizations where the bully mentality is the culture of the company. Everybody knows it. If you go to work there, yeah, you may get a decent salary, and yeah, you may get wonderful benefits, but you better be able to handle being bullied. There are companies like that in the U.S., and
that's
most
right.
people know about them or know of them, or maybe
mm-hmm.
if it's not, I'm hearing about it, well, glad to bring you some news. But there are companies where the culture is what they call dog-eat-dog.
Right.
And then typically in those cultures, they used to call it dog-eat-dog. Now it's being called bullying in the workplace. It's the same thing. Because in a dog-eat-dog workplace, you still had the dogs that were eating others, and it was creating and causing this hostile work environment where productivity is low. Now, let me tell you why you don't want to work in a company like that. Because if you're about anything, you wouldn't want to work in a company where productivity is low. Because that means that you are not a winner. You may be fighting, but not winning a thing. You want to be in a company where this is like business 101. You want to be in a company where productivity is high. Because where there's high productivity, there's going to typically be higher profits. And where there's typically higher profits, typically, not always, but typically there will be better benefits and a better work condition. Why? Because people who are striving for better, they really don't have a lot of time to fight, bicker, and bully.
Mm-hmm.
When you get, and that's why sometimes, unfortunately, in some government fields where there is not, the profit is not the margin or standard for productivity, is not profit, sometimes they have more, I guess, room on their hands to do some of this stuff. But in the major corporations who are about profits, and they're going to be very careful. But when you get companies who don't care about productivity, they're just there operating. Maybe they have a product or service that people have to have.
Right.
So they don't have to worry about the competition that much and all of that. They may have more time on their hands to get in mischief, I should say. You know, the idle mind is the devil's workshop, so to speak. So, quote unquote. So maybe they have more time on their hand to kind of get into that. So if you're looking for a job, if you're going to work in a company, and that's why of the past, say, 15, 20 years, they're teaching college students how to, and they have been for, like I say, about a good 20 years now, you need to do more research on the company than the company is doing on you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ever think that you just got to have a job. You need to know the culture of that company. Because a company where, see, if there's like one or two bullies, that's a company that is against it, and they're probably going to get rid of the bully when they find it. But when you have a company that's full of bullies, that's the culture there, and that company wants that. And you're coming in, you're either going to just, you know, step being a victim, or you're going to, you know, have a lot of stress and health problems trying to combat it. So I don't know. What do you think about that?
You know, that's why I think I've studied psychology. I'm still currently doing it. My mom was a clinical social worker, so that's how I got into what I do. I can't ask the victim to understand, but I do, because a lot of times when a victim in any type of situation has been victimized, they do somewhat blame themselves. And a person who's been bullied, they say, I should have stood up, or I should have done this. Or no, it's not you at all. It is always internal issues with that bully.
Yeah.
Whether they were abused as a child, a lot of times I had a playmate when I was younger that used to bully me. And one time, I don't know how we got on the conversation, but I found out that his father was an alcoholic and just used to beat him and his mother. And I jokingly said, so you come to school to beat on me? And he kind of laughed. He said, I guess so. He never hit me again because he needed to get that out, and we became the best of friends. And all he needed was somebody to turn to. Okay, that's a happily ever after situation, but it doesn't always end up like that. So what we have to do is we need to help the victims, but you really need to address the bully. That's the only way you're going to get around it. Because the big bully at where I work, he comes to me, well, what did I do wrong? He actually either wants us to believe, or maybe he really believes he's not doing anything wrong. He's just trying to get the job done. And as long as we perform under that, it's not going to stop. And that's why the company does not get rid of him. They don't care how you get the work done. They just care that it's done. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You know what? And see, and so there are some different schools of thoughts coming into some of these workplaces, because I know in the workplace that I was working in not too long ago, several years back, their quote was that, they were concerned, and they put it out throughout the company that we don't just look at what got done, we look at how it got done, like what did it take to get it done. So what they were trying to do at that point, and this was back in 1998, they were concerned about how, they did look at how managers got it done. Mm-hmm. So I had to applaud them. They were very forward-thinking. They said, no, we're not going to accept you. Basically, they were saying, bullying your staff. We're not going to just look at productivity and say, oh, well, you did a lot. Ooh, great. Ooh. They're like, no, but let me go. And then the upper management used to have to hold sessions, and we used to hold group sessions and focus groups to find out from people under you, well, how did they treat you? And what caused you to do all that work? And if they say, well, I was pressured, or, you know, the person, yeah, I got it done, but they talked down to me, and I don't like, oh, no, this company was very much so. I have to up that company for doing that. But their whole thing was, it was not around here, they would say, it's not just what got done, it's how did it get done. They were always mm-hmm. concerned about that. And I thought, wow, that's really neat. That's really cool. But there are some companies who are the exact opposite. Mm-hmm. We don't care how it gets done, just that it got done. In other words, we don't care if you broke the law. We don't care if you broke somebody's back, as long as it got done. And so, again, I say research your company's culture that you're going to work at. Now, it's one thing if you're already on the company, you've already been there 5, 10, 15 years, you didn't know about this, you didn't tune into the Culture Lisa Show, you didn't get a chance to hear us discussing this. Now you need to know what to do, what your next steps are. But for those of you who don't yet work for a company, you're just starting out, or you're working with young people. Maybe you work at a college. Maybe you have your own youth. Teach them. Don't just let them make the same mistakes we made just because we did it. Well, it worked for Mama, it'll work for you. No, because what worked for Mama don't have to work for me now, because this is a new day. And what worked for Daddy and what Daddy had to go through, I don't have to go through that. And that's what our children keep trying to tell us. They keep trying to tell us that, but we don't want to get it. They're trying to say, and we wanted to, well, it's the same as it always. Well, it's the same in a lot of ways, but it's a new way of doing the same thing, basically. And so we got to let them know, just because we had to take jobs out of desperation, okay, they don't. And they don't. And that's why a lot of people cannot even understand this generation next in the workplace, which I'm going to do a show on that. They are not like that, and they will up and quit on you in one day. Now, we look at that. We would have never done that because we were told that you stay. Same thing in these relationships. We stayed in these abusive relationships. These young people today, they will get married today and divorced tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But they have a different way of looking at it. So I'm saying it would just, you know, behoove us to teach them how to research a company first. They don't have to come out of college desperate to get any old job.
You know, another tactic, if you have a bully in the workplace, a lot of them like to walk up on you, and you have a legal buffer space. When I noticed that, I told one of my clients, when your supervisor, this was another client, when he walks up on you, you don't have to touch him. You look down at both of your feet, take two steps back, and look him in his face. You will throw him so off his game. And he'll look and he'll know not to approach you. Or he'll go, what you doing? I wasn't going to touch you. But it kind of it takes away from the initial attack they were coming at. And it's not as vicious. But it's also telling them, okay, if you take a step toward me, now you're engaging in what may become an assault.
What may become warfare.
Yeah.
And his or her. His or her. Because, again, statistics show that there are more women bullying than there are men.
Oh, I'm sorry. And I was doing
right.
There was a personal, like I said, one of my clients that was two guys.
I know,
and
I know.
Over a woman. But the woman was the core of it. That's why a lot of workplaces don't allow dating on the job because of that.
Oh.
Because
Wow. Well, yeah, and yeah,
that's
and I know.
That's
another
tricky one.
Yeah, but I've seen that happen where if I'm the female and I was getting all the favor from the manager or whatever, or coworker, and you come, I've seen that with coworkers. And then there's a single male in amongst several single females, and everybody had their eye on him. I've seen it in the church. Single pastor comes into a congregation with a lot of single women. They all claim I've had them tell me, oh, it was prophesied that he's going to be my husband. What?
Oh, Jesus. That is so familiar. That is such a big thing.
Anyway, people do that in the job. A single guy comes into a company where there's a bunch of single women. Everybody claims that they're going to be his bride. In their own mind, you know, that
especially
kind of
the married ones.
Oh Lord,
that's
even worse.
Yeah,
well,
yeah, I see a lot of that.
Worse. It's bad enough when it's the single person saying that. That's okay because you're single, they single. It's fair game in that sense. But then here comes another person. So everybody's got their sights on them or whatever. Then here comes another woman into the scenario, single. Now you know you might get some resistance from your coworkers.
Yeah,
because who are you?
You know, to your listeners that know, if one of the listeners or someone that they know is being bullied, a lot of what I would like them to do is to kind of learn to control the effects of being bullied with simple breathing techniques, you know, with deep breathing and getting in touch with your heart and slowing down. Because a lot of it, 9 chances out of 10, a person being bullied has high blood pressure. Because,
goodness.
I say, when you hold that in, it turns on you. The reason I think that I'm going through my own issues, but people say, girl, you're going to do all this, you're going to do all that. I said, no, I let mine out. I scream, I rant and rave. If you bully me, I'm going to let you. I'm going to send the bully home thinking about me. But, you know, that's a vent. That's my escape. It's not the healthiest way. But I'm also learning in what I'm teaching and what I'm learning and teaching also is that you find yourself a quiet place and you just breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth very slowly. When you're being bullied, do it with them standing right there. These are defense mechanisms. I guarantee you, you will get them off of you.
And Lisa, you're so right about that, because when you take 2 steps back and you look them straight in their eyes, and you're breathing also, they see your whole aura change and they are baffled.
Yeah,
and
they don't know what to expect.
And then when you don't give them a reaction,
that's good,
emotionally
that's
or verbally, they are stunned. They go home definitely thinking about you, and you are the topic of the conversation all night and the next morning.
See, they don't know if they've cornered the tiger or if they've cornered their prey, and they don't want to take that chance if they're smart. You don't want to take that chance. A scared person, my great-grandmother told me, a scared person will kill you because they're fighting for their life.
A scared person is a quiet person. If they don't respond, they don't know, as you said, which way to go and how to turn, because the action that they direct at you, they are already counteracting the reaction you're supposed to give them. And if you don't give them that counter-reaction, then you know their next move, because you can tune into them and how they're thinking and who's connected and what they're doing. And that is so important to the person who is, quote-unquote, the victim or the bullier, okay? And then you can almost center who is where and why they're doing it.
Right.
9/10 out of 1, the bully does have internal health issues. Mm-hmm. And the health issues, as you said, either it's asthma, and the asthma is coming from the home, from when they were born, what was lacking in the relationship of the mother carrying the child, the dietary laws that the mother had when she was carrying the baby, and what the baby was fed after the baby was born and being brought up, and all of the other emotional things that they saw as they were being reared, that comes into assimilation. I'm the most important person. I'm going to be that center of attention.
Wow. Well, you know what, ladies? I tell you, we are going to definitely, this was almost a two-hour show today, but this is a fantastic, you all have so much to share, and I'm definitely going to let Lady Diana know about the show, that it is recorded so she can come back and listen to the archives. She's at work. She's not able to tune in. But definitely, I thank you so much, Nesafiri, and also for Lisa. Thank you so much for calling in. Lisa,
thank
being
you,
in the NAT.
She shared good information. I appreciate
yes.
her.
Hey, oh,
goodness. National
awesome.
EEOC and has handled cases, is handling cases, mm-hmm. has worked with the bullies and the victims and the management. Mm-hmm. Oh, and our expert, I'm just so amazed. Again, we are definitely, we're going to do the topic again. We are going to have to do a part two tomorrow because I know people have other, I'm surprised we're still on this long. But we've done a two-hour show. So we thank you so much for all of your valuable insight and the information. So I hope that you're able to come back tomorrow. I hope you, if not, I will definitely talk to you offline and get some more information that you can have for us as we continue to look at ways to protect yourself, keep your health up, keep your job if that's what you want, stand up to the bully if that's what you want to do, and also we want to offer some solutions for those people who are actually the bully who may want to get out of that lifestyle and don't know how. Maybe that they don't know what to do. So we want to offer some help for them as well. So those of you, if you know anyone who would be interested in this topic, please tell them to tune in tomorrow for part two, but to go back and listen to the archive. So everyone have a great, great, enjoyable day. Again, I thank you to my two wonderful guests today.
Thank you.
And in the spirit of Dr. King, this was an excellent topic. And to close out tomorrow with solutions, that would be just what he left us with, what he died for.
Wow. He did. He said, I have a dream. And he said, this is what you can do to close this segregation and this. Oh, wow. That is powerful.
Yeah.
He said, this is what you can do if you want to stop segregation, if you want to stop the injustices and the poverty. He said, why don't you just start judging people by the content of their character and not the color of their skin?
Right.
Wow. Why don't you let people equal for real? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Wow, that is awesome. Well, I hope you call back in too.
I'll definitely be here, and I will bring my coworkers. Will be listening. A lot
wow.
of people, they do it on their phones, their cell phones. So I'm going to let them know about this because I just found out. So you have quite a few people coming with me tomorrow.
Please do, Lisa. I'm going to call you out on that now.
Okay, no problem.
Okay. All right, and say hello to your grandbaby for us.
I'm glad she's going to sleep.
Oh, did
she? Yeah, she's a night owl. Wait, she waits up for her grandmother to get home, and I get home. I work the swing shift, and so she's been staying up really too late. So I know her mom she's upset with me. So I got to turn her back around. So I've been working on that. So hopefully she'll be asleep when we talk in the morning.
Because, yeah, this is, what is it, 5 o'clock there? What is it, 6
it's
o'clock there?
It's 6 a.m. She just went to sleep.
Oh, my goodness. She is an early riser. Yeah. A nighthawk, an early riser.
Yeah.
Wow. Good morning. Well, we're doing some awesome things. We're doing, coaching and release your power around the country, just for some of you who don't know. Just to give you a couple of highlights, yet Sunday we were at the Martin Luther High School, I'm sorry, Science High School, with the Martin Luther King event that we've told you about. We also have other coaching events. We have online training, webinars that people can come and get workplace training. So I'll definitely be talking to some of you about that. We are coming to North Carolina with our Release Your Inner Power Women's Conference Retreat. Well, we'll be in a hotel, but we'll be doing workshops and we'll be offering coaching for those people who want to take their life to the next level, take their energy back, take their power back. So we'll be doing Friday night coaching, and then on Saturday all day we'll have empowerment workshops. Then we will also be going to Dallas, Texas. We're definitely looking to come to California. We're talking with another lady out there to get out to California. I'm not quite sure what part yet, but Maryland. I have two sisters who live in Maryland, so I am looking to come there to do a women's empowerment, Release Your Power seminar there. So, you know, just to let you know that we are traveling this year around the country. So stay tuned for those dates and opportunities that we can come together and, you know, empower each other, you know, iron sharpens iron, and empower each other and empower the women that are around us, the leaders, the parents, the family members, the community leaders, the supervisors and managers on these, and the coworkers. So ladies, you have a great, wonderful, wonderful day, and the gentlemen that were with us. Thanks, Ms. Tina. I know you were very quiet today, but you'll call me later and tell me. I wanted to say something, but I didn't. I know she's going to call and tell me that. But, Tina, you better call in tomorrow. I know you have a lot of experience from your industry, the banking industry that you were in. So I know you have great things to share on this topic. We'll hear from Tina tomorrow and others. And, Lisa, we look forward to you and your coworkers. And Ms. Afiri, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
No, thank you. It's nice meeting you. And so we look forward to the next time.
Yes.
Till then.
We still have a conversation to carry.
Okay, and remember, your goals will take you to the destiny of your dreams. This has been Lalisa J. Williams. Okay, well, this has been Code to Lalisa. You can catch me on Facebook or Twitter. You can also email me at info@lalisajwilliams.com. Take care and have a great day.